a full family gathering. We've been split up over the past few weeks with travel and camp and all sorts of other things, but it's kind of good to be back together. I was thinking about why we're sort of settling down and back together. There's a great big exclamation mark in some of your lives called school. Matsu schools open up tomorrow morning, and the school year starts. And that'll be part of our lesson. Actually, we're going to send us off into our crossing this Jordan River. If you don't mind the little connection there, with purpose. But we have other folks to welcome. Where's our newlyweds? Just had them. Our newlyweds are here this morning. Jeremiah and Kimberly just married last weekend, and we had them back with us. But let us remember that every person here is here by and with God. That your sitting here is not just a sequence of your choices. The faith in your own heart, the faith of your family, the love and connection with a friend. God has connected a series of events to bring you here. And you're here to be together with the church this morning. Our purposes are edification, unity, encouragement, learning, focus, faith, growth, the applications of God's love, kindness, forgiveness. We got a lot of work to do, and we've only got a couple hours to do it. Because come 1:30, our classes will be over, and most of you all will claim you can go home. Of course, our work's not done, but we'll just be doing it from a different place. But we've set aside this period of time for the church to gather together, and God has given us this beautiful list of things to do while we gather together. Let's do it. Let's be about it. This period of time is for me to say something that has some focus and point to it out of the Word of God, and my point is for me to get out of the way and let the Word of God do its speaking. So let's pray about that, and then let's dive into His Word. Would you join me, please? Heavenly Father, we praise You and thank You and pray that in all things, Father, You'll be glorified in our lives. Father, we are just in awe of who You are and what You've done for us, and pray indeed that as we step into tomorrow, as we look at the beginning of this week today, as we step into the next hour, that we'll have our eyes wide open and we will pay attention to Your will in our lives. Heavenly Father, we pray for the students stepping into a new set of classrooms and a new set of challenges tomorrow, and we pray that Your glory is on their hearts, that Your purpose is on their mind, that Your courage is in their lives, that their words will be from You and will be of You, that they'll bring their love and Your light with them wherever they go. Father, we pray for our newlyweds, that You watch over them. I pray for Nate and his family, that as they've gone through the difficulties this past week, that You take care of them. We pray for the new babies and the new moms here and the moms that are still to be, babies yet to be born. Father, we pray Your hand on all of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 8, where Mogens just read for us. And we read part of this last week. We read the first part. Mogens read us the second part, part two, if you will, of this word of God through Moses coming to the people. And God says, you know, you're going to go out there and you're going to build yourselves homes and you're going to get yourselves jobs and your wealth is going to increase and you're going to be sitting around on a Saturday evening with the harvest brought in and the barns full and your stomach full and there's money in the till and your house doesn't leak and the wind has died down and you're going to think, boy, this is nice. We sure have accomplished a lot here, haven't we? I really am quite an organizer and a farmer to be able to set my family up so well. Now, you can insert any piece of your life into that little equation. You can put yourself into college. We're sending students off for college. Jesse, there she is, is taking off tomorrow to go back to college. And other folks are leaving here to go back to schools at different levels and different challenges. But we can insert anything you want to in that sentence and say, boy, haven't I accomplished a lot. Or conversely, how can I do anything? Boy, I'm not doing very well. I'm kind of failing here. What am I going to do? I'm and be in anguish over our lack of accomplishment. And in both cases, leave God out. God says, don't forget me. Otherwise, when you've eaten and are satisfied, have built homes and lived in them, and have your herds and flocks multiply, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. Let's go back to the first thing, last week's reading in Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go and possess the land which the Lord swore to give you, give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Parenting class, you can underline that one, by the way. We have Wednesday night parenting class. We have a lot of fun with that. God is acting toward us just like a father disciplining his children. And what did he do to do that? Well, one thing he did was he let them go hungry. That doesn't sound very kind and fatherly. Anybody let your children have a hard time of things? Let them struggle with the lawnmower for a while? Let your children have a shovel and point to the square of earth and say, I need the garden right here, and let them flail away at it for a while? It's good for them. It's good for us. Struggle builds strength if it's approached the right way. What is God doing in that struggle? Look back at verse 2. That he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart. God tests you. God tests you. You might be going through a test of God right now, this week. Tomorrow morning, you guys are going to get assigned into different classrooms. And when you walk in, you might look at the teacher and say, oh no, I thought I was avoiding her. Or, I don't want to have him again. Or, oh, he's not in my class, is he? Or, she's so hard to get along with. Don't look at that as something to avoid and run from. Look at that as a challenge, as a test for God. Do you know what word is used by God to describe what he did with what he did to Abraham in regard to his own son? It says in Genesis, I think chapter 22, and God tested Abraham. And then it describes coming to Abraham and say, Abraham, take your son and take him to the mountain and sacrifice him. God tests us with hard, painful, anguishing challenges to our heart, to our lives, to our mind. Tomorrow morning, you guys are going to be starting out into a new place, into new classrooms. Don't be afraid. God starts the whole beginning of the book of Joshua. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'll be with you. God promises us, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus says, I will be with you to the end of the age. Don't be afraid. But when you step out into whatever tomorrow morning has for you, you look at it as an opportunity of God's. Now, I'm talking to students here, but there's a bunch of other of us who are going to be walking out into things tomorrow morning. Now, it might be the same office and the same job and the same people you worked with for 15 years, but it's still a test and an opportunity. It's still an opportunity before God. It is still a place in which God wants you to bring Him and glorify Him. Don't go into that and say, look what I've accomplished, and leave Him out. Nor go into that and say, I can't do this. I'm not very good at this, and leave Him out. Nor go in and say, good morning. Hi. Yep. Good morning. Hi, everybody. And go sit down at your desk and leave God out of your day. He's testing us. He wants to know where our heart is. And if we don't bring Him, He might just do to us what He did to the Israelites and have to humble us and say, now what are you going to do? He might bring into us some real anguish and say, you're going to call on me now? And of course, we often do when things get tough, when the cancer comes, when the bills exceed the income because we've lost a job, when it gets real difficult, then we often turn to God and say, I need some help. And He says, okay, I'm with you, but I was with you before. You didn't ask for my help and how to spend the money when you had the income. Now that you don't have the income, you're asking for my help on getting some more. You didn't ask me how to use your health when you had health, but you're asking me to get rid of the sickness so you can have more health. Don't leave me out. Don't leave me out. God tests us to see what our purpose is, specifically to see what is in our hearts. We know that as they crossed the Jordan River, they had a lot of challenges ahead of them. I mean, they crossed opposite Jericho, we read last week. They crossed with the fortress of Jericho looking right at them. Now, we know the end of the story. We know Jericho collapsed. But it was a fortress. It was a military strong point, and they were not a military force. Romans chapter 11. Verse 33. It's a beautiful set of verses. You can kind of highlight it. Romans 11, these verses right here are the hinge point between the first half of or the bulk of Romans, which is talking about our magnificent faith, and then the practical side of the book of Romans, which talks about, like, what do you do with it, okay? So this is the hinge point to describe these two parts of Romans. Oh, the depths and of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became His counselor, or who was first given to Him that it might be paid back to Him again? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. All things. I look down, Stephen Younger's looking at me with a little smile on his face. The Youngers are moving in a few weeks. And I love to look at times like that. Their house is sold. They're flying out of here first of September. We'll have a tear in our eyes. They're going to go back, be close to the children and grandchildren again. But I love to look at opportunities like that, to look that know that from God and through God and to God are all things. And as they move to their new town and the new location and the new place to work and a new church to work with, they can go down there with their eyes wide open and say, all right, Lord, what's my work here? Who am I supposed to work with? What am I supposed to encourage? Who am I supposed to encourage? What connections do you want me to make here? To Him be the glory forever. If you don't remember anything else out of this lesson this morning, remember 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, the second half of the verse. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. These victory things that we see in the Old Testament, these military challenges and land challenges that Israel was led through, are not Old Testament stories only. First of all, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that they were given as an example for us. But also I want to read this in Romans 8. Okay? Whatever you do, do all to the glory of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Okay? We're to be glorifying God in all of our actions. When you leave here and go home this afternoon, in your time with your family, glorify God. It's just that the challenge of tomorrow morning, these new classes for those going to school here, or the challenge that college students will have going back to maybe a new roommate or a new set of schedules or a new point in their job or that they have to work before or after classes. But obviously in the new classes, or like the youngers are having in a new town and a new position with a new work and a new church. These are great checkpoints in our lives. And we often don't feel up to the task. Usually we set our sights pretty low. Usually it's, well, I just want to find a nice place to live, and I just want to do well in my classes and have some fun with my friends, and just don't bug me, okay? That's usually where we set our sights. Real low, down in the weeds, I just want to get along. That's not where God usually sets our sights. God has things for us to do. He has plans for us. We feel pretty weak up against those plans. God has purposes for us. We feel pretty inadequate up against God's purposes. God has love for you students to apply to you fellow students in the classrooms. God has joy for you to show them what it means to be with Christ and to learn of Christ and to follow Christ and to know Christ. God has kindness that He wants those other students to understand by the way you show it in your lives. In Romans 8, starting in verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit also helps us with our weakness. Anybody feel weak up against the plans and purposes of God? I certainly do. God helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes with us, with groaning too deep for words. And He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes with the saints according to the will of God. For we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among the brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who's against us? What's the challenge in front of you that's too big for God? And usually our response is, I don't want any challenges in front of me. I'm fine just like I am, okay? Can't you just leave me alone? I'm come to church. Can't we just sing a few songs and go home? I don't want challenges. Anybody know what day it is? 19th, isn't it? What were you doing the 19th of August, 2006? When man here was having the worst day of his life. Or our brother here was having the worst day of his life. Rick Collins was fighting to get back from a valley back in the Wrangell-St. Elias Park struggling, fighting to get out of that valley so he could get connection to somebody who could get connection to somebody who could fly in and save his son, Jake, who's stuck on that hillside. You've read the story, you've heard the story, you've talked the story, you've hugged the answered prayers in a thousand different ways. We don't want those challenges. Rick didn't want to be doing that. But the path that Rick and Antoinette and the Collins family, along with the rest of us, went down last August and last fall was a challenge that tested us and tested them over and over again. I won't tell their private stories they've shared to me, but if you know them and love them, they probably shared many of them with all of us, many of them I'm sure I haven't heard, of personal challenges. What are you going to do when those challenges hit? Tomorrow morning, we're starting a new day. Today's the start of the new week, but I like the idea of looking at this new connection with the school system here and with whatever your job is, whatever the change is, whatever's going on immediately in your life, you look at it as an application of God, His purpose, and His glory. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who's against us? Does that mean we win all the time? Not on our measurement of winning. But if God's with us, we're victorious. If God is for us, who's against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, will He not also freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God's the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? This is being given to the Romans in a challenge of life. What are you afraid of? What's going to be out there greater than God is? Nothing. What's going to separate you from the love of Christ? And then he gives us this list. What's going to divide you and Christ up? Well, trouble, distress, verse 35. Persecution, famine, you want to get hungry again? Nakedness, peril, sword. For your sake we're being put to death all day long, for we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer. What's the challenge in front of you? With Christ, you conquer. You not only conquer, you overwhelmingly conquer. There is nothing for us to fear. For we overwhelmingly conquer all things for Christ. We read this last week. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Through you, people can smell Christ. That's what he said. Through us, everywhere is spread the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. To some people, you smell sweet as flowers, and to other people, you stink like garbage and death. That's the next verse. To some, that's what it says. Among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to the ones we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. That's all 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We walk in Christ, carry Christ with us. And like the Israelites were being warned, don't walk ahead without me. Don't go into your next day without me. Whether it's to your pat your back on your own accomplishments or your own failures, I'm with you in all of it. But I will test you. I will challenge you. It will get hard for you at times. But don't ever do it without me. We are triumphant, overwhelming conquerors in all of God's will, in whatever challenges. Now, victory in God doesn't always look like victory on earth. Stephen was stoned to death. James was imprisoned and got executed. Peter was imprisoned and was released. Victory on earth and victory in Christ are not always the same thing, but they are victory to God's glory. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go home as families. We're going to pray now. But I would like you to go home as families in between getting home this afternoon and walking into whatever threshold you walk into tomorrow morning. It may be your job. It may be your office. It may be your school. It may be to get on an airplane to fly back to school or back home. It may be all kinds of different things. But whatever tomorrow has for you, between today and tomorrow, gather with your loved ones, 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, whatever your group is, and pray that you can be a reflection and purposed to glorify God tomorrow. So as you guys are going into school, you can say, all right, I'm going to glorify God this year in this classroom. I'm going to glorify God this year with these teachers, with my friends, with the ones I don't know, or back at the office, that your life is going to glorify God in your work, in your ethics, in your kindness, in your unselfishness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Or if you're traveling somewhere or going somewhere or new to a neighborhood, you can glorify God to your neighbors, whatever it is. So between now and tomorrow morning, between now and leaving your home tomorrow morning to go into whatever threshold, pray with your family, pray with your loved ones, out loud and specifically, that he might be your purpose, and you would be glorifying God in what you go into tomorrow. Let's pray now, and then we'll have the invitation song. Heavenly Father, you're an awesome God. It's incredible as we see the victory you promise in Christ. Victory over sin, victory over life, victory over death, Father. We pray that we can be people courageous enough to step out and realize that victory, that we won't be afraid of the challenge, we won't be afraid of the struggle, we won't be afraid of the danger, we won't be afraid of the difficulty, but that we'll see that your glory is out there, and in your glory our joy. Father, we pray that you'll watch over our students as they go out tomorrow morning into a new set of classrooms and a new set of challenges. The challenges for them ahead will be immense, huge, in every regard, Father. And I pray that you'll be with them in heart and mind and soul and spirit. Strengthen them, encourage them, purpose them, Father, that they can be doing your will. Help us as we go off to our jobs tomorrow morning, as we travel tomorrow, as we take care of our friends and neighbors and families tomorrow, that you can be glorified and you can be our very purpose, Father. Thank you that we can know you through your Son. And we pray here that whoever's heart now needs strengthening and encouragement or relationship needs fixing, that'll be known as they come forward and let us all know. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.